KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Good morning, I'm Mark Saylor reporting for KJAN News. Currently we do have sunshine and the temperature reading is at 57 degrees. Looking for a high today near 68. A judge on Monday denied a request to release an Iowa woman accused of lying about her young daughter's cancer diagnosis. Cass County District Court Judge Jeffrey L. Larson says Letha Slauson's request for a bond reduction and pretrial release was denied because she continues to pose a risk to the community. Her bond remains at $35,000 and will continue to be held in the Cass County Jail. Slauson's attorney had requested that his client be released to live with her mother, but Larson called the charges very serious in nature and assaultive in nature. Slauson was accused of telling the community last year that her 5-year-old daughter had terminal cancer. School officials contacted authorities after they became suspicious of the girl's medical records. An investigation later determined the child was not sick. Slauson is accused of drugging her daughter during the time. Court documents say she inserted a feeding tube into the girl's stomach to administer cannabis oil. Slauson also collected thousands of dollars in donations for the girl's medical expenses, according to authorities. And Slauson says she is not allowed to have, as Slauson, who is not allowed to have contact with her daughter or any other children, has pled not guilty to the numerous charges, including child endangerment, causing bodily injury, drug distribution to a person under 18, and theft in the first degree. And a pretrial conference is set for October 13th, and trial is set to begin on November 12th. KJAN News Time is 8:02.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable, no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing, Heating, and Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
And news is brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. Governor Terry Branstad Monday issued a disaster proclamation for two more Iowa counties affected by recent severe weather. The proclamation means that state resources can now be used to help Madison and Appanoose counties. They're recovering from severe weather and heavy rains that hit the area on September 9th. Proclamation also activates an assistance program for Madison County that provides up to $5,000 for households with incomes up to 200% of the federal poverty level. The money can be used for things like car repairs, clothing, food, and temporary housing. Sheriff's officials in Crawford County say two people were arrested on Monday on drug charges following the execution of a search warrant at 857 Second Street South in Charter Oak. As a result of the warrant, 28-year-old Nicholas McClure of Charter Oak was arrested for possession of methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia, and 23-year-old Elizabeth Melby of Moorhead, Iowa, was also charged with possession of methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia. Their bonds were set at $1,000 each. A small quantity of meth was seized, along with drug paraphernalia. The arrests were the result of an ongoing drug investigation conducted in cooperation with the Monona County Sheriff's Office. Also assisting in the search was officers with the Denison Police Department and the K-9 Bayou. The campaign of Democratic candidate for Governor Jack Hatch was suspended. Television ads on two TV markets in Iowa has changed its advertising strategy in two others, but he denies it's a sign the campaign is struggling financially. Television ad buys in the Sioux City and Davenport markets have been placed on hold, and ad schedules in Des Moines and Cedar Rapids stations have been changed. Branstad's campaign manager, Jake Ketzner, says that it's a signal the Hatch campaign is struggling to find money to stay on television. Branstad is running ads on nearly all of Iowa's major television markets, in addition to Mason City, Ottumwa, and Quincy, Illinois, which reaches the state's southeast corner. Campaign financial reports show Hatch's campaign had $183,000 in cash on hand in July, most recent reporting period for which records are available. Branstad's committee had $4 million. 13 families have joined a lawsuit against a former Council Bluffs pediatrician already in prison for child pornography and acts involving a 5-year-old girl. Jones formerly practiced at the Methodist Physicians Clinic, which is also named in the suit. Message left with a clinic spokesperson was not immediately returned. On August 15th, Dennis Jones was convicted of possessing child pornography and was also found guilty 5 days later of lascivious acts with a child, a Class C felony, was sentenced to 10 years in prison on each charge to be served simultaneously. According to court documents, Jones had an estimated 1.2 million images of child pornography and 9,300 videos of child pornography in his possession. Some videos were of 24 to 30 patients Jones secretly recorded using a pen camera without the permission from them, their parents, or the Methodist Physicians Clinic. At his sentencing, Jones admitted recording the videos at the clinic, saying he had planned to use them for educational purposes. Jones says that he had profoundly saddened of the shame he brought on his family, friends, and co-workers, and said about the trouble he has caused his patients. Man is facing a burglary charge on suspicion of attacking a University of Iowa student in her dorm room and stealing her laptop, according to authorities. Mark C. Spicer, 19, of Palo, entered the Mayflower Hall in early morning hours of September 16th, according to a complaint by the school's Department of Public Safety. Records indicate that he is not a student at the university. Authorities say that Spicer knocked on a woman's dorm room and struck her face when she answered the door. He allegedly then spit in her face before taking the laptop. A roommate was sleeping inside at the time. It's unclear if the roommate was involved in the incident. Spicer is facing a second-degree felony burglary charge. Court records do not list an attorney. He remains held in the county jail with his next court appearance scheduled for September 29th. Activists say that airstrikes by warplanes from the United States and five Arab countries hit targets in and around the city of Raqqa, the Islamic State group's self-declared capital of Syria. The head of the Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights says that there are confirmed casualties among the Islamic State group members. Another activist says that civilians are among the casualties in a strike on another town. World Food Program's top official says growing global needs are overwhelming the donor community despite its generosity. Earth and Cousin says it's unprecedented that the United Nations aid agency finds itself simultaneously responding to half a dozen major crises in addition to helping the largest number of refugees since World War II. Russia-backed rebels in East Ukraine are telling Interfax news agency that they're matching moves by government troops to withdraw heavy artillery from the frontline positions. Rebels also say that they'll leave their heavy guns in place in areas where government troops don't withdraw theirs. The artillery withdrawal is part of a truce agreement signed last week. More evidence today that the 18-country Eurozone is losing economic momentum. Its monthly survey, financial information company Market, says its Purchasing Managers Index, a gauge in business activity, fell to a nine-month low of 52.3 in September from the previous month of 52.5. Anything above 50 indicates expansion, but the survey finds that growth may slow further in the fourth quarter. KJAN News Time is 8:09.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local train dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
And funeral notices for today on this Tuesday. Marjorie Ford, 98, of Bridgewater, died Friday at the Eastern Star Masonic Home in Boone. Funeral services for Marjorie Ford will be held 11 o'clock today at the Bridgewater United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. John William Broyles, 92, of Weatherford, Texas, formerly the Griswold area, has died. Graveside services for John Broyles will be held noon today at the Hillside Cemetery at Elliott. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has the arrangements. Dorothy A. Peterson, 94, of Harlan, died Saturday in Harlan. Funeral services for Dorothy Peterson will be held 10:30 Wednesday at the First Baptist Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Albert Wetzel, 92, of Bayard, died early Friday at his home. Services for Albert Wetzel will be held 10:30 Thursday at the United Methodist Church in Bayard. Odie Funeral Home in Bayard has the arrangements. Christopher D. Finken, 41, of Omaha, formerly of Harlan, died Saturday at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. Funeral services for Christopher Finken will be held Thursday at 11 o'clock at the St. Paul Lutheran Church in Irwin. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has the arrangements. Donald D. Holloway, 56, of Harlan, died at his residence on Saturday in Harlan. Funeral services for Donald Holloway will be held Thursday at 1 p.m. at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Jean M. Steffen, 83, of Greenfield, died August 12th in Stewart, Iowa. Celebration of Life services will be held Saturday from 1 p.m. until 4 p.m. at the Andrews Memorial Room at the Adair County Health and Fitness Center in Greenfield. Those attending are asked to wear red, which was Jean's favorite color. Dune Funeral Home has the arrangements. Lois Mae Drake, 90, of Stewart, died September 9th at the Stewart Community Care Center. Celebration of Life service for Lois Mae Drake will be held Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Stewart Mount Vernon United Methodist Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. KJAN News Time is 8:12. News has been brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Mark Saylor, KJAN News.